You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Around the NFL Podcast always survives the ground.
Can I jump in now? Because I'm jumping
in
now.
Welcome to the Around the NFL Podcast. This is a highlight for me. It's a thrill for me to be here with three of my best friends and Dan Hanses. It's really exciting, and I can't tell you all that are listening how much of a highlight this is in my career.
This is the Equip Pod.
Anyways,
this-
so I just I'm really I couldn't be happier.
Great to
Greg.
Have you,
it's
Daniel.
Really great. Hey, Mark, good to see you, buddy. This is Wes, you look great.
This
Thank
is the
you.
Podcast equivalent of like the Make a Wish Foundation. It's like, DJ, why didn't you come on a podcast that people actually listen to? So here you are. We're letting you sit in, and it's great to have you. I know you're very busy right now.
No, look, it's cute that they let you guys in here, though. Seriously, how'd you guys get in?
Yeah, for the listeners, you know, for regular podcast listeners, you probably don't recognize the voice if you listen to podcasts. This is Daniel Jeremiah, a.k.a. Move the Sticks, NFL Network's draft analyst.
What is buzzing through your body, your system, to be in this room on a show that is highly successful, listened to by many?
It is a pretty exciting experience. I got to tell you, I've had some cool experiences in life. You know, you work with different teams. You're around Hall of Famers like Ozzie Newsome, great coaches sure. like Andy Reid. But to be sitting in here with three studs like you guys is great. You know, and Dan's a nice guy. He really is. He means well.
I mean well. It's very true. I try my best. Like, no one could really stack up with DJ, especially this time of year. I mean, we had Rap Sheet on here yesterday. And it's Rap Sheet season. Also Move the Stick season. So
by the way, did you see the Rap Sheet thing with Chad Dukes?
And yeah, we actually discussed it.
Did you?
Yeah, we talked a little shock jock feud.
It got pretty intense though.
Yeah, with Rap Sheet.
Did you hear my drop in that whole feud, by
no.
the way?
You
didn't
involved?
Hear that?
No.
We'll play it afterwards.
Do you have any feuds? Involved. Do you get in feuds
I wasn't
with
in the feuds, but I was Beyond. Chad Dukes dropped my name in the middle of the rant.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, it was like a class act that wouldn't hang up? Was that what it was about?
I can't even – you have to
very interesting.
You have to listen to it. It's very unique.
We did actually – we're going to have Chase Goodbread on a little bit later.
Oh, Chase is good people.
College football 24/7. Opened the kimono. We asked to have DJ on. I hit him up with a DM, and he's like, oh, I'm really busy. Let me get back to you, see if I can do it. He never even got back to me.
Yeah, it's funny. If any of you guys would have reached out to me, I would have been, boom, done.
And now he's just sitting here watching kickers and punters.
By the way, so you guys, for set the scene for the folks who are listening here, both of them. The on the field right now, we've got the kicker-punter workout. So when you're a scout, when you start, the early duties for a young scout, you've got two responsibilities. Number one is keep the snacks stocked in the meeting room at night. You never want to run out of gummy bears or whatever your coach is like that, you know, that way. So keep the snacks up. Number two is you got to come out here and get times for kickers and punters. So literally, this is like your first thing, and you don't know anything about scouting, right? So you come out here, what am I doing? You touch to toe. That's all you are in charge today, touch to toe. So from when the punter catches the snap, that's the touch. And then when it hits his foot, That's the toe. So you're getting times on. It's a handle time from touch to toe. So you spin out here hours and just boop, boop.
What's the Mendoza line for?
Don't. I don't even care. I don't remember. I try to black it all out.
I mean, how would anyone even?
The best part about it is we get back to the meetings and it's like we go, okay, what do you think of these guys? I don't know. Special teams coach, who you want? They do all that crap anyways.
Like, how would anyone know if someone was accurate or good at timing these players or not?
Well, I mean, you get pretty good with – I mean, that's what you do. You live on
like
the stopwatch.
It feels like at this point it would just be on video and you'd be timing it off of, like, video
you do it,
cuts.
We do it off video, too. And okay. So when you were doing an advance report for a team, you're getting ready to play, and the special teams advance, you would do it. And for the kickers, for field goal kickers, it's operation time. So it's the amount from when the ball is immediately snapped to when it's kicked. And so – once you get that operation, and this is way in the weeds, by the way, but once you get, you know where the set numbers are, and if you're above a certain time, then we go, okay, we can put a block on against these guys. I think we can actually get home because they have a little bit of a longer operation time. But it is not a fun job to sit there with your stopwatch and time kickers and punters.
Is this what the Move the Sticks podcast is generally about? Like stopwatch stuff? And
yeah.
It's a good thing that you big-timed us for like an actual full segment so you could bring this info to the
like that.
I always wanted to know one thing. Behind the scenes, Mike Mayock, fun guy, funnier than we'd think.
Or a monster. To hang out with. Be honest. Yeah. You could be honest here.
Well, first of all, where do you guys keep the toasters? I don't see them. I assume
back in
big,
Culver, back in Culver.
Is there a big stock of them? No, Mike's great. Yeah, me and Mike get along great. In fact, like during this time of year, there's very few people outside the league. You know, you talk to your league buddies, but there's very few other people that are spending all day just watching these guys. And the way it works now, once you've got to the top guys, you're going through everybody else, and you can watch 10 guys in a row that suck. And so you get to the 11th guy, you think you've seen Jim Brown because you're like, this guy is so much better than these other crappy players. So Mike is a good sounding board, and I try and function with that for him as well. Like, hey, dude, am I crazy? But this guy, I haven't heard anything about this guy's pretty good. So it's nice to have a little back and forth with him. He loves ball.
It's like a lesser version of Greg and Wes in their scientist basement.
Oh, is that what they do?
Apparently.
Yeah.
I like that you're not threatened by Mike Mayock, but you obviously seem so threatened by us.
Well, I mean, look, to be in the presence of podcast greatness, I mean, it's a big deal.
It really is a big deal.
Seriously, how'd you get credentials? How's it like you guys in here?
We'll get to credentials
in a
second because we had an issue. Daniel, we're really glad we could do this for you.
It's big. It's big.
And if there is a Move the Sticks podcast, Sully is sitting in here. I believe he produces that show. It's just getting off the ground, right? It's just starting? No, it's been around. How many times a week? Twice a week, the Move the Sticks podcast.
Quick question for you guys. How many times you guys had Michael Vick on? Just curious. we had him last week. No big deal. No big whoop.
We got a Michael Vick prison exclusive a few years back, so nice. We have our connection.
We did have Greg Hardy before the suspension.
Yeah,
so okay, that's good.
Hey, listen, we had Dan and I talked to Jim Brown, speaking of Jim Brown.
Did you really?
Yeah. Went very well. He's like, you guys are kind of funny.
Yeah, we had literally the best football player ever on our podcast. So.
That's pretty good. I'll give you that one. I would be a gangster move right now is you didn't even air this interview.
The mics aren't plugged in?
No.
All right, we're going to get going on the show. You can go back to your other personal suite that you have. Thank you for stopping by. Move the Sticks. Follow him on Twitter. And, of course, he's going to be all over the network from now until draft day.
See you, boys. I really do love you. The three of you, at least.
Thanks, DJ.
Thanks.
Got some good TV looks. You can tell why they put him on TV. They trust him to go on the network at rapid and endless times.
He takes his shots at me, but the fact that he's giving me any attention makes me feel good because he's very important. Look at him as he leaves the room. Yes, welcome to the Around the NFL podcast. Day two at the NFL Scouting Combine. A lot to get to. You just heard Move the Sticks. Later, you're going to hear from Chase Goodbread of College Football 24/7 on NFL.com. And we are also going to do a little bit of news. Before we do any of that, though, let's talk about day two of the press conferences, boys. And actually, let's start here. Before we get into the takeaways, let's open the Komodo once more and share that our plan was to get Connor Orr on a program today. But Greg, something happened on the way into Lucas Oil Stadium that maybe you could share with our audience.
We were walking up to the suite. We got into the stadium, past security, checked our bags, and we're just maybe 100 feet away from the suite we're taping in right now. And a gentleman, a security guy who is literally reading the Indianapolis Star, kind of looks up after we're 2 or 3 feet past and says, "Oh, you can't keep going. You can't." You can't walk the path here. You're not supposed to be here. It's a Connor Orr. Sean Sullivan was with us at the time. So, Sully, feel free to tell me if I'm wrong in any of this. Basically, got into a back and forth, which resulted in Connor Orr being escorted out of the building and his credential being taken from him, which seems like a strange two-part maneuver. Like, they're booting him out of the building and they're taking his credential from him so that he apparently can't go work.
They basically ruined his life.
We even called shadowy league figures and they couldn't do anything.
This is Sully jumping up.
The second person from the Move the Sticks podcast to invite themselves onto the show.
Yeah.
How you doing, Sully?
Well, no, I didn't invite myself. Greg said, feel free to back me up here, so I grabbed a mic.
That's absolutely right. So, no, ultimately, Greg, you are Connor Orr's former boss. You pull him into this working environment. He's now at the MMQB, and you have had a high-ranking writer from Sports Illustrated. Their credential has been pulled thanks to hanging out with you.
Let's get him on the phone right now. We're gonna, because we're remote here from Lucas Oil Stadium. This is gonna be a little bit, putting it together with spit and whatchamacallit, right? What are they called? I don't know.
I don't know. But
you're going to have to dig yourself out of that one, Dan.
This appears to be the journo equivalent of being kicked out of a bar for being underage and losing your license.
All right. Here we go. Connor Orr making the call. Hey, you there, Connor?
You there? I'm here.
Hey, buddy. So welcome to the Around the NFL podcast. Sorry we couldn't do it on the terms that we initially agreed upon. How's everything going? I heard about the setback you had.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's probably like a 50-50 chance that I'm just banned from this thing for the duration, you know? We'll just see how it goes. When they walked me out of the building, they mentioned something about taking the credentials, so I just, skedaddled on out of there.
So you escaped, Connor, with your credential in the end. You just kind of ran away from the... He was an older gentleman.
I don't know if escaped is the word, but... You know, I would say that, my credential here is like my identity. I'm like Leonardo DiCaprio at the end of The Departed, and this guy was trying to erase me, and, I just wasn't going to let it happen. I'm standing here looking at Lucas Oil Stadium.
So sad.
Come and get me,
One thing you said really I found interesting during the process. We're going back and forth with this security guard as he's wanting to get Connor out of the building and we're trying to talk him out of it. And Connor said to me, the old Connor would have been losing his mind right there and been getting really angry and getting into making it even a bigger problem. But you believe you've had some personal development that's changed things.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you have, with a kid on the way, and you start thinking about, needing to have a job for a while, you stop screaming at people. I felt like, you try a little bit of honey instead of vinegar and you see what happens. And today, honey won.
Connor,
I'm very proud of that.
You are clearly growing as a person, evolving nonstop. But how will Peter King take this news if for some reason it gets up to him?
I had just kind of planned on blaming it on you guys.
Good move.
Really, I think that was sort of the thing. Like, to be honest, I was totally trying to think of playing it up as sort of a setup on your part to sort of get me out of the news mix. You guys knew what I was capable of. Obviously, wanted to get rid of me, and so this was all kind of, orchestrated by you guys. So that's kind of my backup plan.
What was up with that personal growth moment that you're talking about? It feels like it's sort of touching up.
I mean, I think you can still grow as a person while being, like, borderline sociopathic. I think that's really sort of the balance that I'm trying to strike right now.
Very nice. And Connor, I guess since you are no longer a part of the corporation, you are owed an official apology. So let me offer the apology from the National Football League to you for what transpired today. It's up to you whether you want to accept it.
Next year I'm going to be covering the XFL Combine, so you guys are going to lose out on sort of my insight analysis. But, maybe we can work something out down the line.
All right. Well, good luck with everything else you're trying to accomplish here, including just getting into buildings at this point.
Free ore.
Hashtag free ore. Thank you, Connor. And that was a surprise. That was unfortunate.
we lost the guest, but we got a we gained a story.
We did, and that's really the most important thing to do. All right, let's get into it now. Even without Connor, we must soldier on, and let's talk combine takeaways. Day two of the pressers. Let's start with you, Christoph Wessling.
I think my takeaway is similar to Greg's, that of all the quarterbacks in Minnesota, the one we've heard the least about lately has been Sam Bradford, but he appears to be the one that Mike Zimmer is most fond of and would be most in favor of coming back. He talked about looking beyond the 2017 season and looking at their experiences in the past, and he seemed to give the edge to Sam Bradford over Case Keenum on that issue.
Yeah, I bounced this theory after listening to Mike Zimmer. It was hard not to come away with the impression that they just don't necessarily trust Teddy Bridgewater. They like him, and who knows, maybe if they get him back as a backup, that's great, but they're not going to bet on it. And then reading between the lines of what he said about Case Keenum and Bradford, with Bradford, he says it's a health issue. With Keenum, it's, do we even trust this guy at all, or is he going to be the Case Keenum from 2 or 3 years ago? And to me, that's a big question. Like, that the fact that he's throwing that out there is that we don't necessarily even believe that what we saw last year was for real, made me think that they really do like Bradford. And Bradford's been with John DeFilippo, the offensive coordinator, and I think that's a huge factor. And I bounced this theory off of some people, and that I think the consensus is that Bradford, if they stay with one of the in-house guys, might kind of be the leader in the clubhouse. But as we heard, you know, yesterday from Rapsheet, Kirk Cousins might be option number
one. And they talked about the fact that, I mean, Mike Zimmer, defensive-minded coach, they're going to give John DeFilippo a big voice in who the quarterback would be. But the whole thing is still Kirk Cousins. Do you feel any differently? I thought Rick Spielman wisely and craftily said nothing about Kirk Cousins, and neither did Zimmer. But do you sense that they're still like the lead dog in this chase for Kirk Cousins?
There's no way to know. Zimmer really emphasized we don't want to ruin our team by paying so much for one position that we've won 40 games over the last 4 years because of our defense, and not necessarily because of one player, but I don't know how much to read into that. I think if they can get Kirk Cousins, they're going to get him, and I think it's probably going to come down to the Broncos and the Vikings, and unless the Jets, you know, just blow them out of the water financially, you would think it's going to come down to the Vikings and the Broncos.
Zimmer is fully aware of the stakes involved right now because they're right on the doorstep. He had this to say.
You know, it's important for myself and Rick and the organization. We picked the right guy that is helping us to continue to move forward. If we don't do that, then I'll probably get fired.
So Zimmer gets it.
Well, and also
there's a lot of stakes here.
Yeah, and Spielman yesterday, he said very little about which quarterback, but he did mention, and he went into depth about this, that the cap hit for these quarterbacks was a big factor in this. So maybe Cousins is still a discussion piece on that team.
Moving on, Mark, you checked out your boy, Browns GM John Dorsey, and you sent a text. Can I share the text you sent?
I mean, it's the first time you've asked permission to do that, so please go ahead. It's not one from last night, I hope. It's one from today. Okay.
No.
Okay.
Good time at St. Elmo's.
Had a great time.
Lindsay set up a big private room for us.
She did a great job with it.
All caps, Mark Sessler, John Dorsey's a badass.
Well, okay, so...
I feel like I haven't heard that, or that's not been something that's been thrown out there.
It's the time
before.
Of year to me to spin into hyperbole with Browns executives, but I will say that I really was down on the team ditching the Sashi Brown analytics approach after 2 years. It showed to me, again, that they just simply couldn't stick with a plan. And John Dorsey, to me, feels like, before I got to hear him today at all, was like, he knows players, but he's sort of an old school dude. They flipped to the entirely different side of the spectrum with their new personnel guy. And that said, today, I really came away with two impressions. One, that he is deeply, he has respect for the Cleveland Browns, what the organization has been, not just the last 10, 15 years of train wreck, but he gets what the organization could be if they were successful. He is committed to finding real players, veteran players, guys that can come in. And I think he's going to do it differently in a different way than Sashi Brown and that crew did. And I really don't think that they're going to miss the opportunity to sign some sort of veteran in free agency and pair him with Sam Darnold. I came away just, I feel like they're going to go someone like Darnold number one. They're not going to mess around with that and pair him with AJ McCarron. I mean, Hugh Jackson also said he did not want to start a rookie week one. I think they're going to veer away from that being the case, although every team says that now.
Well, he also
You were not John as impressed, Dorsey. Maybe, Greg. Or you
no,
were,
no.
You...
I thought he was. He's a fun character to add to the
would
mix.
You classify him as a badass?
No, no. I compared him to a science teacher from a 1980s comedy.
Yeah, like that's.
But you said in a good way. Though.
In a good. No, yeah. I really mean in a good way. I liked listening to him. I'm sure he obviously seems like a smart football mind. You can kind of see how maybe he would have rubbed some people the wrong way behind the scenes in Kansas City,
for sure.
Just because he's kind of a my way or the highway, just the way he talks. But it's a fun guy to add to the mix. One thing I noticed, and I guess every guy has to say this, but he did go out of his way to say, you know, we're open for business at the number one pick. And I like the way he said it. He was like, you know, we're open for a trade. Give me a call and see what's up. It was just like an older guy trying to sound cool. Like, hey, just give me a ring on the old phone. See what's up. I don't think he talks that way.
Call me on my cellular phone. Any other to Mark, are you also, I don't know if he fell under the badass category, but Kyle Shanahan spoke and you had something to take
He was great.
That.
And he was funny. He just seems like the team was 0-9, and the way he made a point, the best way to come out of a 6-10 season with people thinking you're amazing is to start 0-9, because it ended our last impression and what they pulled off with Jimmy G. But it's like he seems so relieved that he didn't have to spin into this offseason answering a billion questions about quarterbacks. That solved. Him and Lynch both came off very well today. Kyle Shanahan, it's like teams had this guy as an assistant for years. And this is someone I just think that we're going to veer closer and closer to younger and younger head coaches that are based more on their experience and their mind than having been around and gone through four or five sort of John Foxian stints. That's not the guy you hire anymore, I hope.
Well, now he has to take the leap, though. It's nice to win five games in a row, but they need to now become a team that's a power player for him.
Book
to
it.
I couldn't agree more with what Mark said, and he seemed like a different guy than a year ago. Like the way he was carrying himself, mm-hmm. having been a head coach for a year, maybe not as bruised emotionally as he was at this point a year ago after losing that Super Bowl. Like, he just was up there seeming like a head coach and so confident. That division is going to be a lot of fun to watch, not just them and the Rams, but I think the Seahawks, the three of them going after each other.
Any other takeaways from the pressers today?
None.
I thought it was interesting just because I learned something from Pete Carroll in terms of how the combine works. He said that all the teams have a lottery held before the combine starts to decide what spot you get for the suite in which you can watch the combine, which I found very interesting.
Wow.
I feel like that's something that like we would do, and there's different strategy over where you get your suite. And he was saying they got the 31st pick this year, so he's actually
so what, like, what's the best suite?
They're with Connor Orr.
Right, he's in the JW Marriott was his joke, and he was really really upset about that. I don't know. I guess you would think it would be right on the 50. Or maybe at the end of the 40. He said he likes staying in the suites because you can watch it on TV.
Well, and for the listener, I mean, we walked by taping a bunch of these suites. We're in one taping now, and we walked by, I think it was the Jet Suite.
Yeah.
Beautiful pizzas laid out, drinks, food.
It's a class act organization. They do everything right.
Well, I think they all have food, but yeah, they also seem to have
good pizza, though.
I also asked him about Earl Thomas, whether they would give him an extension. There's been some trade rumors with him, and his answer to that was, well, a year ago at this time, everyone thought Earl Thomas was going to retire. And basically, I think he was trying to make a joke and just say, like, I don't really take what Earl Thomas says that seriously. That's just Earl being Earl. He's a little crazy.
Oh, are you like this, Dan? Up close and personal, Greg and I were with Les Snead. The hair is real. The hair game is legit.
It's always been. He's consistent. Even when the Rams were bad and his job was tenuous, his job security was tenuous, the hair was always there. He always had the blazer and the smart outfit. He's got his act together. Always has.
He told a story about how he has a Word document, which I use Word documents still sometimes too, which I think dates myself and
good for you, Greg.
And less need. Yeah. Like, I think only old people do that at this point. But he has a Word document of all the most important things that he needs to do. And at the top of it in bold red letters is "remember this feeling." And he wrote that after they lost that playoff game. And he likes to look at that each day.
It's like something Kevin Costner would do in draft day.
It's like something Kevin Patrick would do if he talked negatively about his body.
And he says he
true.
Wow.
Whiteboard.
He almost gets bored of one color, so he keeps changing the color around.
I also get that. That I get.
I also get the sense from them they're gonna franchise tag LaMarcus Joyner. He didn't say that at all, but I just think that they're gonna they'd like to keep Joyner and Sammy Watkins, and they might be able to do that. They might be able to figure out a contract with Joyner before free agency, and then they could use the tag on Watkins.
Did Les Need offer any other insight on his preferred computer applications?
That was probably the extent of it, but that was more than we got from other GMs.
That's it?
Yeah. I think so.
Well, a nonverbal answer, Greg. I mean, we're on a podcast.
Well, Mark answered it.
I wasn't there. I didn't
maybe
see
he's
it.
Maybe he's an Excel guy, too.
Yeah,
it sounds
maybe.
Like he likes the whole the Microsoft suite.
the whole suite?
Suite of products.
Yeah, yeah. See, some people, you know, just pick and choose. Maybe he's just into all of them.
He's really into PowerPoint.
All right, so there you go. There are takeaways from day two of the pressers. There's some more guys talking on Friday, but since we're not going to be covering that on this podcast tomorrow, nothing will come out of it.
We largely will ignore them.
Yes. Whether or not they're newsworthy will never be mentioned on the show. All right. Now, moving on. Moving on. We got Chase Goodbread coming up at the bottom of the show. But now let's spin around the league real quick and get caught up on some news. Let's do it.
Let me tell you about my favorite pizza, my way. $10, any pizza. Hut Hut, Pizza Hut. Flacco's favorite. Check it out.
Who was that, Lindsay?
That was Joe Flacco, I assume. Yeah.
It was Flacco? Pizza Hut is now the official sponsor, the official pizza of the NFL, unseating Papa John's, who, you know, things went sideways with Papa John's this year. you could put it that way. Wes, you're a guy, you like pizza. do you feel like we've upgraded, the National Football League is upgraded?
Be careful here, Wes.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Even before cancer, Papa John's was the one food I could not eat.
Yeah.
My body rejected it.
Are we allowed to trash Papa John's now?
I mean,
maybe let's give it a wide berth.
You asked me a question, answered it.
That's fair.
Told a true story.
All right, let's do some news. We'll start with the Rams since, you know, we were just talking about the Microsoft suite package. Tavon Austin, who 2 years ago, got a big contract extension, or 3 years ago, was it? Summer of 2016, a four-year, $42 million deal. Left a lot of people scratching their heads, including in this podcast group, after a couple of seasons where he just never has broken out. They've now made the decision that they will either trade or release the former number 8 overall pick. This according to Mike Garofolo. Mark Austin has been a gadget player, essentially, that they never found a way to make a real offensive stud.
There were moments. I'm thinking back to a longer post that Wes wrote one time during, I believe, Austin's second season, where he started, especially as a return man, to show these flashes where you thought the potential would be unleashed. One of the most fascinating, like, when you study a few guys going into the draft, when we do, because it's not a billion, he was one of the most interesting college players to watch that I can remember because of all that he could do. And they really, the Rams thought so much of him, and it never panned out. I wonder if another team will take a shot, but it's like, it's essentially a draft bust.
He's not a bad player, but you're right. There was a ton of hype around Austin going into that draft, and it looked like the Rams had themselves a major playmaker. It just never really happened.
We used to kill Brian Schottenheimer on this podcast when he was offensive coordinator of the Rams for not knowing how to maximize Tavon Austin's unique skill set. And then a guy like Sean McVay, who is coach of the year and one of the best offensive minds in football, Tavon Austin averages 3.6 yards per catch under Sean McVay with only 13 catches. No role in that offense. So I think once Sean McVay doesn't know how to do anything more than use you as a jet sweep fake to get Todd Gurley going, I wonder what his next move is or where he's going to turn his career.
I mean, he was a terrible return man last year. He lost his confidence, lost that job. He only played a couple snaps. That's one of the worst contracts, I believe, of the last decade, because I think the worst possible contract you can have is to give a second contract to a bust. When you can't self-scout your own team, I mean, that's one of the worst moves Les Snead has ever made. I'm sure he would agree with that. To give that much money to a guy that was already in your building for 3 or 4 years, it's a huge mistake because they're going to have a lot of dead money on their cap. They're saving some money. It'll free it up to spend. They have a lot of important free agents, so it's a no-brainer move, but they're still going to be paying for it.
That's not hindsight either. That that signing, that contract was lampooned by almost the entire football industry when it happened.
It happened on Hard Knocks, too, so it gave it even more. It was even more in the spotlight at the time. Moving on, terrible news out of Western New York. A statement released by the Buffalo Bills, Jim Kelly, his oral cancer that he fought and beat has now returned, and he's now going to undergo treatment to fight the cancer again. Obviously, cancer is something that with Chris here, Wes here, that the fight, getting the front row seat with Wes and seeing how much you've been through, Wes, and how you've been so great and amazing during the process. Kelly, it was very public, his first fight, so you know that he has the fight in him, but it just shows you, Wes, and you know better than anyone, how cruel cancer can be.
Well, I immediately thought how heartbreaking it has to be for the people close to him who had to watch him go through that. And then you think about, the first thing I thought of was him being such a competitor. He's known as one of the toughest quarterbacks ever to play. Mentally and physically, that resolve, he's gonna need it. He's going to need all of that, because it's one of my great fears that I would have to go through that again. And physically, your body's ravaged, but just mentally, you know, you have to gear up for that fight again. And I think it's natural to wonder, do I really want to go through this? So I really do think being a competitor has to be a huge asset for him.
He's such a unique person in the NFL landscape, if you think about it. Just, it's almost like his connection with the city of Buffalo, and I think that was as strong as possible before this all happened, and then after it happened, it's almost brought him into a different light and legacy than he had beforehand. And even maybe part of it is losing those Super Bowls instead of when there's something really unique just about Jim Kelly and his importance to that city. I think that you can't really replicate anywhere else in the NFL.
And I can only imagine what you've been through, Wes, but I do think that the one good thing that came out of it, and it mirrors Jim Kelly the first time he went through this, and I would imagine the second time, is how much people have learned about you through what you've been through, but also learned just how strong you are. I mean, it's like I can't imagine, if it happened to me, to respond the way that you did, and Jim Kelly very much in the similar light.
Yeah, I think I've used this word before. I think sometimes I get too much credit, because you really don't have any choice but to be strong. That's what it forces out of you. You can either give up or you can't. And I think most people I know would choose to fight. So I think I do get a little too much credit for that. But yeah, I think it does take some strength, especially on the mental front, just to go through that.
So best wishes to Jim Kelly and his family as they go through this situation. And finally, in the news, you know, we wanted to hit this on Monday, and it got away from us, and we missed it. So I want to make sure we get this, because, as you know, Geno Smith is former Jets quarterback. He's heading back to the free agency market. Greg, for a long time, has said that Geno Smith can play. Well, I wonder if this changes your opinion at all. A tweet from Geno Smith, Greg: I've been studying this whole flat earth versus globe thing, and I think I may be with Kyrie, that's Kyrie Irving of the Celtics, on this. Before you judge, do some HW. I assume that means homework.
It does.
But what do you guys think?
I think you're an adult.
a master wordsmith. Let's start there.
Greg, does this shake your foundation of Team Geno?
No, I think he sees the world in a unique way, like he sees the football field in a unique way. I mean, look at Kyrie Irving, the other man who's mentioned in this tweet, a singular talent. There's not really any other Kyrie Irving. There's not any other Geno Smiths.
Why are you backing anti-intellectualism on this show?
I mean, he's been doing it. This is all based on those four starts at the end of the 2014 season. You're still riding and dying with Geno over that.
I'm not really defending this preposterous take. I did enjoy him going back and forth on Twitter with all these people.
He never answered me.
with all these people, including like guys that are in the military, and we're saying, you know, as part of, you know, making our maps, like the you know, it, you need the Earth to be curved or none of it would work and we wouldn't, you know, arrive in certain places. And he's just, and Gino's like, well, you know, we can each have our disagreements. Like, we can each, it's like, no, it's a fact. It's science. It's like, no, we just see that we'll have to agree to disagree.
The jury is out on science.
That's not allowed. That's not allowed to, like, we'll just agree to disagree on that, military.
How about this? How do you have night and day without a globe? How do you have seasons without a globe? How is it that we can look at other planets from a telescope? They all are shaped like a globe, and yet we would be the only planet that's flat?
The only thing I could get behind is if everything is simply a computer simulation, and I would go down that road potentially. This is absurd. I also think from a strategy angle, Geno Smith, riddled with question marks and red flags of varying degrees, why, as you're about to hit free agency, meet with teams, try to convince them that you're a capable fill-in at the most important position in sports, are you getting into arguments about flat earth theory on Twitter with idiots?
Why are you getting your jaw broken in training camp before you're about to start the season as a quarterback?
Why are you rooting against the other quarterbacks on your own team on national television?
You know, he did answer my tweet on it.
I saw that.
What did he say? Did you say?
I wrote, if it is flat, the lack of gravitational pull might explain all those interceptions you throw. Maybe you are.
I said,
maybe you are onto something. And he replied, let's see here. He said, Lindsay, you tried and all, but no, try harder next time, pal.
What an interaction.
Burner blowtorch from Gino.
I think Lindsay.
And then I replied to him and I said, I had a pretty good reply. Let me find it.
This coming from the guy who ignores science and tells other people to do homework.
Yeah, well, that was my reply. I said, actually, buddy, it's science.
What a feud. What a feud. Well, just to your point, what you were saying, another Twitter interaction, although it won't match Lindsay's, a guy replied, we've seen pictures of Earth from the moon. Gino replies, in this day and age with Photoshop and everything, you trusting a picture? Any video footage?
How about look through a telescope?
Yes, there's a lot of video footage of the Earth from space.
Well, not to mention, you know, the hundreds of people that have seen Earth from space. Whatever.
It's
ridiculous.
One last thing. Yeah, we are in a life or death space race with Russia at the time, and they don't question anything about us landing on the moon. They don't question whether the Earth is flat or not. I don't know, but Geno Smith is going to take, like, Photoshop technology to 1969, I guess.
It's Greg's boy.
Well, I see. It is incredible that, you know, different people can view the same thing, like me and Wes, when we view Geno Smith or Geno Smith and the rest of the world, and you see those two things differently.
Well, Greg, it's like you versus every other person when it comes to Geno Smith.
I mean, he's getting jobs in the NFL still, he was last year. Played pretty well against the Raiders,
right,
I believe.
That will be fine.
What's happening in the news. Moving on. All right, we got another guest here at Indianapolis, the NFL Combine, Chase Goodbread of College Football 24/7 on NFL.com. He kills it every year. One of the best names in the game. I call him Carbs. Chase Goodbread, what's up, buddy?
It's clever, Carbs. Clever. It took almost 5 years for me to see the view from the top of this particular mountain. It's breathtaking.
Yes, Chase is a real college stud in terms of analysis. You used to cover Alabama. You're an Alabama native. You live there today, right?
I do. Well, I'm native to Jacksonville, Florida, but I live in Tuscaloosa.
Right.
Didn't move from 6 years of covering the team, hired by the NFL. They said, stay where you're at. I was great with that.
We've had a faux Southerner in Chris Wessling here for years, so now to have an actual Southerner feels good.
Well, Jacksonville is only about 2 hours from Tybee Island, so I made my fair share of Jacksonville trips.
Wes's weird kind of fake Southern accent. It's nice to hear a real one.
It's a Cincinnati accent.
So yeah. Carb's got boots on the ground here with all the college prospects in town, and you've been writing a lot so far this week, Chase, about the quarterbacks, which everyone is fascinated by this quarterback class. What's your kind of a big takeaway right now in terms of what are we dealing with here? Are we dealing with like a true special class, or is it still way too early to make any type of guess?
Yeah, of course it's too early, but it's going to be a cool watch. I mean, you look at, you mix guys like traditional quarterbacks like Darnold and Rosen and Allen in with guys like Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson, it's gonna make for a fun mix. Lamar Jackson is the most electric college football player there has been in years, and wow. So it's he's just on another level. Every game he plays, he's the best athlete of all 22 guys on the field.
It feels like when they have talked about these quarterbacks, you hear the big four. It's Lamar Jackson's left outside of that conversation sometimes, and people wondering if he's even a first rounder. I feel like we could see five quarterbacks go in the top 15 or 16 picks, number one. But what is the issue with Jackson? Why would some teams stay away?
Well, accuracy is one concern for sure, but Josh Allen's got the same concern, you know. So it's not like Jackson's the only guy who they're worried about. Is he going to put the ball on the numbers often enough? But he's way better a college quarterback than Mike Vick was. Mike Vick went number one overall and carved him, you know, obviously had a big hiccup in the middle of it, but he carved himself out of fairly reasonably productive career, sure, at least when he was healthy and in his prime. And Jackson's, to me, he's beyond him as a college player.
Does Jackson, to you, have the highest upside of any of these guys then?
That's hard to say.
Or ceiling?
Because, you know, Darnold and Mayfield, all of them, Rosen, they've all got – they can all make – especially Allen can make some throws hardly anybody can make, and that's the fascination with him. His numbers aren't great. Scouts don't look at numbers. Scouts look at tools, physical tools. But that's why a guy like Allen can – have a rough year like he had at Wyoming and still be considered a top guy, because they're just looking, just from a straight tool standpoint, he's got everything they want.
You know, we're a couple questions into this. We had asked Daniel Jeremiah to come on the show. He denied us, and he's sitting about 12 feet away. I think we're getting much better information, cleaner information, right, more professional information.
I don't know about Chase that now.
Certainly professional. It's a step up. So sometimes something seems like bad news, it turns out to be a great situation. That's what we got right now.
It's been
whatever, DJ.
It's been a blessing having carbs in my life, and I got the pleasure, absolutely, of eating lunch with carbs today, and I found out one of the most distressing...
Carbs with carbs.
That's what you would have thought. Yeah. But I found out one of the most distressing items of information I found out all week, that he's on a diet where carbs does not eat bread.
What?
This is a true story. It almost sounds like he is living a bit right now, but it's
like
real.
An acid trip.
Yeah. More like Chase No Bread.
Well, exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah, lettuce wrap for me for lunch today.
Who gets a lettuce wrap at Jimmy John's? Give me a break.
I'm with you. I like that idea.
That's not a very fulfilling lunch, I'm guessing.
I'm a couple weeks into this, and it's a grind.
Yeah. Well, you look good. It's good to have Chase here. I am fascinated ever since way back in the day when everyone thought the Jets were going to go 0-16. I was way in on Sam Darnold and all the talk about him. And now you hear some of the criticism that he's out a year early and he's too raw. I mean, are you in the camp that this is a guy that's going to need a couple of years to get going? Or could he surprise people and hit the ground running next year?
I think he could surprise people. You know, he's, to me, the turnovers is one of the issues with him. If you go back 2 years ago, his first year as a starter, he really didn't have much of a turnover bug. And USC won their last, I think, 9 games with him running the show, maybe their last 10, close to it. And he ends up coughing the ball up a lot this past year. His hands, I guess, measured adequately today, 9 3/8, which is not too small, but not huge either. So I guess, you know, maybe that'll allay some concerns. But, I mean, the guy can make a lot of throws. He's durable. It looks like he's maybe shown a little more durability than Rosen has, for instance. So he's got a lot going for him.
John Dorsey, the Browns general manager, said hand size is important to him, but he thought all of the top guys had hands plenty big enough for him, including Darnold. I wanted to ask you, Carbs, how would you rank, let's say, Darnold and Rosen versus, if you had to rank them with Mariota, Winston, Goff, and Wentz, as in terms of when they were coming out, like the level of prospects, those guys?
Sexy.
Yeah. Gosh. I would after what Dan just said, I would hate to defer to DJ at this point.
No, don't do it.
Don't. But, come on.
Close that door.
Yeah. You know, I've talked to I talk to a handful of scouts, and I lean on them for, you know, I'm not an ex-scout like DJ, but I talk to a handful in that community, and I hear as much excitement about this quarterback class as ones of the past. Mariota, Winston, you know, the question on Mariota, remember, was can he translate from the Oregon offense and all that stuff? It's happened. That question's starting to get tired because almost all the college quarterbacks now have got a similar kind of tough transition. Some make it, some don't. But it's becoming a little
more. It's like Ben Roethlisberger
now.
Runs the spread. I mean, he's in shotgun 80% of the time. It's like a different,
yeah,
different league.
I wanted to ask about that. At a time when the Eagles bring us RPO as a household name with Nick Foles winning the Super Bowl, isn't all that stuff overblown? Can't NFL coaches just use college concepts and mix them in with the pros?
I think if you talk to some of the coach, you know, Tom Cable, I think, has been outspoken about how players just aren't as ready anymore as they used to be coming out of
Bruce
college.
Bruce Arians has been too.
Yeah, it depends, I guess, on who you talk to and what you're talking about. I think Cable is.
Tom Cable's offensive linemen are never particularly ready in the last four or
five
years in Seattle. Just,
wow. Yeah.
Tom Cable suddenly hearing bells and whistles in his ear.
But it's different for a lot of positions. You know, it's different for the linemen. These Washington State linemen, they run the ball at Washington State, just for instance, so little that it's a complete projection what kind of run blocker that bunch would be. They got a guard, Cody O'Connell, who I saw at the Shrine Bowl in St. Pete a few weeks ago, practically the biggest player in college football, like some 6'9", and he did not get invited to the combine as it happened, 6'9", and 360, 70 pounds, just a huge. But all he's ever really done there is pass block. And he's a guard of all things at 6'9". So, you know, it's just a matter of projection, and it's different.
I know that you, during the season, you wrote a long form on Baker Mayfield. We can't get out of here without talking about him. What did you learn?
Complicated guy, multifaceted guy. I think he's got a better head on his shoulders than he gets credit for, but it's his own fault that he's got the reputation he has. He's brought some of this criticism on himself, but I think he recognizes that.
How do you mean?
Well, you know, he's the chip on his shoulder makes him look like he's slouching it so heavy, you know, and he wears it everywhere, in public and private.
Sounds like a great quality for a quarterback.
Yeah, well, a lot of people think that way, no doubt about it.
What do you think about him as a player?
I think he's going to be a good player. He's not, I mean, yeah, he can improvise. The Manziel comparison to me is garbage because Baker Mayfield can sit in the pocket and hurt you. It's not hard for him. He did it a lot.
We got to let Chase get out of here because he's going to go check out
Saquon Barkley. I don't want to. I think
it's
been a great guest.
But I do want to ask you about Barkley because I feel like not since, well, Zeke Elliott got a lot of pub too, but you might have to go back to Reggie Bush to find a running back that's getting more glowing praise during this period. Then Barkley, is he worth the hype?
And yeah, he's phenomenal. And to be 233 pounds, I mean, he's for a guy that quick who can make people miss that easily in the open field. Like he can make people miss in the open field. Like he weighs 200 pounds and he weighs 233.
Gotta wonder if he's gonna be playing right here at Lucas Oil Stadium potentially.
Good fit.
Yeah,
the Giants certainly. I mean, Gettleman, it's hard to read these press conferences, but he certainly seemed like he wanted to make people think he was taking, or at least would strongly consider taking Saquon Barkley.
He's playing the game, Greg.
That's what we do.
Giants right. Don't know they need a quarterback. That's funny to me.
Chase Goodred, @ChaseGoodred on Twitter. Follow him if you want to be smarter about college football, if you want to learn more about this draft class, college football 24/7 on NFL.com. Great maiden voyage.
I mean, we're going to have to have him come on multiple times coming up to the draft.
Absolutely.
I demand it.
One more web address. These long-form feature stories that I'm primarily writing now, NFL.com/backtocampus, and the 2 is a numeral 2 for anybody that might actually be jotting that down.
There you go.
Next time you're on, we'll talk a little drive-by truckers, too.
Oh, that'd be a fine encore performance.
Absolutely. All right, Chase. Off to the presser. He must go. We must move on. All right. Thank you again to Chase Goodbread. Thank you to the listeners. A reminder, we are now on Spotify if you want to access the Around the NFL podcast from that popular application. A lot of application talk on today's show.
Podcast suite.
Interesting that you use the full word.
App.
Application.
App. Sorry. Yes, we'll be back on a Monday, back in Culver City, talking more ball as we get closer to free agency, which kicks off, by the way, March 14th, which is less than 2 weeks away. Or is it 2 weeks away from today?
Right around the corner.
Who's excited?
Very
Kirk Cousins
so.
To the Jets. It's happening. Don't count it out.
We'll have some combine talk, you know. You can watch some underwear Olympics over the weekend. Dan
can't
report
wait.
On that.
I cannot wait. All right, let's go. Let's get out of here. I got a flight to catch. Stan Hans is signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, the old boss, Lindsay Fulton behind the glass. DJ was here. That was nice of us to do. Until Monday.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.